We continue our reading of the book of Hebrews. We come today to Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll read verses 1 to 14. Now, you remember the big point of the book of Hebrews is he's writing to these ethnically Jewish Christians, probably living in Palestine. They're being persecuted and pressured to renounce Jesus and go back to Judaism. And the point of the whole book is that's the dumbest thing you could ever do. Because Israel, Judaism points to Jesus, and the fulfillment of everything is in Jesus. And he turns now in chapter 9 to an illustration based on the construction of the tabernacle, which then became the temple in Jerusalem. And he points out there's an inner room, and it's called the holy place, but then there's the inner sanctum of that, the Holy of Holies. And he points out that the priests would go into every day the priests served in the holy place. And there was the table of showbread. There was the golden lampstand. There was the altar of incense. By the way, I think that is a picture of the ordinary means of grace. It's interesting, too, that he places the altar of incense in the Holy of Holies. This actually was between the two, but prayer is something that takes place both in heaven and on earth. That's reflected there. And what he's saying is it's a picture of the relationship between this present life and the life to come, between earth and heaven for believers. And he points out that while we have received so much, we're forgiven, we're cleansed, we serve in the presence of God, not unlike the priest. But the truth is we have not departed into the true Holy of Holies, which is heaven, that which was not created, that which is not of the earth. And his point is that we must hold fast to Jesus because he is the one who has already gone once for all by his blood. He's entered not merely into the symbolic Holy of Holies. Once a year, the high priest could go in there on the Day of Atonement. But what that represented, the actual inner sanctum of the presence of God in heaven, Christ has gone there and he's done two things for us that are all important. The first, he says, that by his blood, he has secured an eternal redemption. Now, that word secured is important. And he argued this in chapter 6 when he called Jesus the anchor for our soul. Jesus secures our entry into heaven because he is there now as our Lord and Savior. We have union with Christ through faith, and by being at the right hand of the Father, and there the ministry of his blood, the second part of this chapter, is going to point out how he sprinkled heaven with his blood. Now, what does that mean? Well, the point is, he prepared heaven for our entryway by presenting his atoning sacrifice. And so when you think of heaven and you wonder, how am I going to get to heaven? The answer, the only answer, is because of Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior through faith. And he is there now. He has secured your eternal redemption. It is certain it is going to happen. You are going to enter into heaven if you are in Christ through faith. And so the last thing that you do, the last thing any of us should do, no matter what they do to us, we must hold fast to Jesus. We lay hold of him. The second thing he does in verses 13 and 14, the difference between the old covenant and the new, is that Jesus purifies us inwardly by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, he talks about how the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons purified the flesh. It was an outward cleansing. But Jesus does more than that. He actually sends the Holy Spirit. And this language of verse 14 is very important, because his application of the atoning death he suffered on the cross is in the Holy Spirit. It not merely cleanses our record, it cleanses our hearts. He uses the language, he purifies our conscience. The theological term here is expiation. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, we look in faith to the cross where he died. Not only is the record of our debt put aside, he paid the penalty. That's called propitiation. But we ourselves are inwardly cleansed of the stain and corruption of sin. Oh, what a blessing this is. By the way, this is going to be quoted in my sermon today, because John the Baptist concludes his witness by saying that while I baptize with water, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it's the same thing he's talking about, that Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' mode of applying his salvation is the Spirit. And he gives us a new life. He gives us new hearts. He's in heaven now. He pours out his Spirit upon his people. We are cleansed, not only of the guilt, but of the stain of our sin. Well, we should never let go of him. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Hebrews chapter 9, 1 to 14. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for worship in an earthly place of holiness, for a tent was prepared, the first section, in which were the lampstand and the table and the bread of presence. It is called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the most holy place, having the golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden urn holding the manna, and Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places is not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshipers, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.